Hey guys, welcome to Zach States the Following with Brittany Charles about judgment and happiness. Brittany is my oldest sister. She has gone through a lot more life than I have, and she's gone through a lot more and very different experiences than I have growing up. And so I'm super excited for you guys to listen to our discussion on judgment and how we went through judgment and dealt with judgment as we were growing up, and we talk about happiness, and it's a very interesting perspective just because she's a little bit older than I am, you know, 6 or 7 years older than I am, so she's lived more life. It's very interesting to me anyway to hear her thoughts and perspectives on those things, so I hope you guys really enjoy, and let's get into it. So today, we will be talking about three things. Hopefully, we might branch out and talk about some other things. I don't know. We will talk about judgment, what kind of factor or what kind of role that religion may or may not have in judgment. We'll talk about happiness and dabble into perspective a little bit. So first, go ahead and introduce yourself, Britt, as my lovely, not favorite sister, but not my least favorite sister.
Oh my gosh. Hi, I am Brittany. I am Zach's older sister by a few years. What do you want to know about me, Zach?
Well, I already know way too much about you. I know that you're too nervous for this episode, but whatever.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I am a little nervous. That's okay.
Can you just replay the last 10 seconds before we got started? How nervous are you? What does it remind you of?
Oh, well, it just reminds me of, you know, doing something for the first time where the first few minutes were pretty terrible and then it'll be fine in the end, but
if y'all wanted to know that something was sex, it gave me a good laugh. That's why I was laughing when we started.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So now that we have
we're good. We can just
broken that
we
barrier.
Can just end the podcast now. End it on a good note. Oh
no,
my gosh.
Like, no. That'll be a good segue into things. Cuz you know, you don't care about judgment.
No, I really
as much
don't.
As you used to. One thing that you when we were talking beforehand that you feel you had a lot of judgment with would be your relationship with your husband, Derek. And so can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so
just like how did you feel judgment when that first started?
Well, there was definitely a lot of different things. When I actually met Derek, it was May of my senior year, so I had just graduated. From college. And I went to college in Defiance, Ohio, which is a pretty small town. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it there, but at the same time, I was slowly starting to feel like I was being stuck there. I was looking for teaching jobs, and nothing was really panning out how I wanted it to. And I had just ended things with, not just, but not too far off of ending things with an on again, off again college boyfriend. And mm-hmm. I just didn't know where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do. And so I actually, and this was a really long time ago, so online dating was kind of a taboo, I would say, especially
yeah,
for
much
like
more than it is now.
Oh my gosh, yes, for college people for sure. I mean, I would never have said to anybody that I was on a dating website or anything like that. It's not something that you broadcasted, I guess.
Yeah.
So actually, one of my friends kind of put me on one, and I started talking to this guy, and who is now my husband, but he was 29 and I was 23, and so pretty significant age gap there. And he lived
how did that make you feel? You know, as being a younger girl and having an older guy, was that something that you really worried about?
You know, I definitely, like, looked... Okay, so when we first started talking, I definitely hinted at, like, anything that not necessarily would have been a red flag, but just kind of would have changed things. You know, he was older, so had he ever been married before? Did he have any kids? Like, opposite end of the spectrum, did he still live at home? Did he never go to college? You know, I mean, and you kind of do that with everyone, but when someone's not your age, it kind of changes your questions that you ask them. And not that any of those would have been game changers, because that's not necessarily me, but it would have just been something I would have needed to know. So once I found out that, no, he had never been married or engaged and he didn't have any kids or anything like that, it kind of simplified things a little bit. So it wasn't like I was just jumping in 2 feet first into something that would necessarily have to be serious right away. Yeah. Which it ended up turning into something serious right away. But
we'll get there.
So we actually started talking on a Sunday night, and this is actually pretty funny. We had planned to go for our first date to a Tigers game, and that's kind of when the judgment started, especially with my friends. Well, I didn't really tell any of my family, because why would I ever do that? But I told my friends that, and my old, like, bosses at work, I was going to go to a Tigers game with this guy I had never met. I was going to spend the night at his apartment and then go to Cedar Point with him the next day and then spend the night at his apartment again. And
I can see where maybe not the, like, I can see where judgment can come in, but I feel like more the people that cared for you were just worried.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, rightfully so. I get that. But there was just something that, I mean, right away, even before we spoke words to each other, it was just the conversation was so easy and it just felt right. I knew I always wanted a family, but I also knew, and this goes back too, but I knew I always wanted to only do it one time with one person. So that was important, but we ended up, so we were supposed to do that on Friday, and on the day before that, Thursday, so we met on Sunday, on Thursday, that next Thursday night, I was actually working at Applebee's at the time, and I had to work till midnight, and Derek told me that he had no power, that a storm knocked it out, so he was just sitting at his apartment bored. Zach, there was like a 0% chance of rain in the Toledo area that night. So I knew he was definitely lying to me, but I was willing to, I mean, he was just trying to be cool. So he actually ended up driving from Toledo to Defiance, which is about a 45-minute drive. And he ended up hanging out with me at work for like 6 hours that night, and I was working, but there was never any awkwardness. And after that Thursday, I mean, eventually we spent a day apart, but we never spent a day apart again, and we started dating. So that was Thursday night. Monday he asked me to be his girlfriend. A month, like within a month, we had joint bank accounts and I was moving in. So it was all really fast.
And at what point did you bring family in? Because I don't necessarily remember this part.
So our mom had planned a graduation party for me. I want to say it would be like early June, somewhere in there.
I do think I remember that. Yep.
And she... If you know our mom, she's kind of a planner. So,
yep, love her for that.
Yeah, yes. And she wants to know everything that's going to go on. Yep. So she said, well, he's absolutely not coming. And this was like pre, had I even said we were moving in or anything. Yeah. she was like, absolutely he's not coming to this party unless he comes to meet us first. And I don't know if you know this either, but he, I mean, we were there within like 2 days and he got off work early and I came home and well, I was at the apartment. So our, I guess our home. But he came home and he like dressed up nice and, bought her flowers and wine and we went and we met the parents. I don't think, were you there that day?
I don't remember that happening, so I don't think I was.
I don't know if you were there or not.
That would be something I would have remembered, I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, and they kind of grilled him a little bit, which, I mean, rightfully so.
To be expected.
To be expected. And then...
I would have remembered that. Like, that would have been a grilling session that I would remember.
I mean, Derek, my husband, he takes things pretty well. He doesn't really let too much ruffle his feathers or anything. Yeah. So that was really interesting, but... Then he was at the graduation party where you probably met him. So, yeah. I mean, I think definitely at first, everybody was really skeptical. And I think that they knew me from, I wouldn't say I brought home like every guy I ever had contact with, but if I was dating somebody, it wasn't long before I introduced them to people. So I kind of, I mean, I knew it was serious, and I knew, I mean, it's crazy, but I knew, like, I knew from the first weekend we spent time together, it was going to be him. Yep. And he was just, he just didn't necessarily.
That's fascinating. I want to, can we talk about that real quick? Like, yeah. You know, that feeling, you know, obviously I haven't felt that yet, and I don't know if everyone feels it.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily, like, everybody has to.
No, it's just one of those things, and like, I don't know, but anyone that has felt it has been like, yeah, I felt it. Is it something where like you felt it and you're like, yeah, this could be it, and then you can justify it once you marry that person, or is it something else? Do you know, like, what would you say about that? Obviously, well, there's not like a right answer,
right? I mean some people say love at first sight, and sometimes that can happen. I think I knew I loved Derek very early on.
Yeah.
But I also knew what I wanted and what I like needed in a relationship, and what I wanted and what I needed wasn't probably what everybody else wanted and needed. I wanted someone who, I mean, had my back and did little things to show me that I really was like the best thing in the world to them, and someone that could get along with other people and was respectful. I mean, I didn't need someone who had so many relationships before, hadn't, or had this job or didn't, or whatever. It was really just how they, at the end, like their values and how they treated me. And I think it was really easy to talk to him from the very beginning, which was very new to me, with relationships. And I had had a couple pretty long-term relationships. So at the same time, I had kind of all, like, had my guard up to things. But I, for some reason, I didn't feel like I had to with him. And I mean, I will never forget like him taking mom flowers, and I mean, he sat at that graduation party, and he might not have said a lot, but he was very cordial and respectful to people, you know? And when we went to that Tigers game, I just remember, like, he pulled out my chair, and it was never a, like, awkward, oh, no, like, he never had to, like, flaunt the fact of anything, and I really appreciated that. I mean, it was never like, oh, look at these seats I got us, or you like my, like, new Nikes. And that was what a lot of guys were like that were my age at that point. And I just liked that he was so humble.
Is that what he sounds like to you?
that's just what douchers sound like to me.
Oh, okay.
Not that every guy with new Nikes is a bad person. Don't get that twisted. I am not into white Nikes, so.
All right. Anyway.
But, yeah. It was so simple as we were sitting at the Tigers game and there was an older couple next to us. And my grandparents are very, very important to me. And he talked to this older gentleman the entire game almost. And it was just so easy. It was so easy. And I got that like little butterfly feeling and yeah. It was good. But at the same time, judgment came. And people thought I was legitimately crazy because I moved in so fast. And
so, what did that feel like? You know, from your end of because I'm sure you had like hardcore judgment from friends and family. Oh, yeah. And like which one hit more? Was it more of like your best friends that the judgment hurt more? Was it your family that hurt more? Like, let's dive into that a little bit.
I think it was. In the beginning, my friends. My friends were really, really important to me in college. And a lot of them were more like family. And there's five of us that are super close. All four were in my wedding. I've been in all of theirs. And they truly are like family to me. So in the beginning, it was hard because they just didn't understand. And I think...
Understand how? Like...
They were just...
The feelings that you were feeling? Because, like, those feelings are probably once-in-a-lifetime kind of things. And if they haven't felt them, like, I get, like, they haven't understood. They don't understand that.
Well, that, and I was not... I don't know how to say this in a nice way.
Just put it out there.
I like to have fun in college.
Yeah.
And I had boyfriends in college, and I think they probably thought that, like, I was just moving with this way too fast and just trying to get over some things, and that wasn't necessarily the case. That was...
So they thought it was a rebound?
I don't know if it was, like, a rebound on a relationship or a rebound of trying to get over college, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Just because he was older and he was settled down and he didn't want to go out and party every weekend. And that was me for a little bit there. And yeah. I think honestly, they thought that I couldn't be alone and I needed to make such a drastic change. And I was going to change myself to form into something with someone. To make that change.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's
interesting. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, like, perspective or a point to think of, like, because I've never really thought about, you know, once after college, if...
I mean, after college, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to get married and have kids and get a job, you know, like...
Yep. Like, that's when real life starts and to, I guess, not really... I've never thought about, you know... the effect of leaving college and leaving the ability to have the freedom to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't necessarily have those same things that you can do once you're gone from college.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
It is very interesting. And I mean, and honestly, when college was over, I did want to be a different person. There were days I looked at myself and I said, what are you doing with your life right now?
Yeah.
I mean, truly. And I don't want to say Derek changed me. I think Derek came at a perfect time.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting that you mentioned that because I'm reading a book right now, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis, and one of the chapters that I was just finished a chapter on it, and she's like, God has perfect timing. And I think that's a perfect testament to what you just said of just like, he came at a perfect time.
Yes.
And I know that like, you don't necessarily have the same religious like faith as I do, but I do think like the timing aspect is like it happened. Things happen for a reason, and they happen when they're supposed to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. And I think for me, it was my time. But for you, it might be your time. I mean, who's to say when anybody's time is? It's also not saying that some people can't date on and off for 3 years and then break up and move away for 6 years and come back and it's perfect. I mean, so it doesn't necessarily mean when it's over for good. It's just Derek came at the right time and it was everything, like deep down to my core, it shook it and I knew I needed that. Like I knew I needed him.
Wow. That is powerful. So judgment with family?
Judgment with family came a little bit later.
Yeah, this we'll have to tread lightly, folks, just because. Just so getting a family matter.
Judgment with family came about 8 months later when we found out we were pregnant and I honestly can say the only negative emotion, I felt about being pregnant was I knew I was going to be in my best friend's wedding when I was like 8 months pregnant. And I felt bad.
That's the only thing that was on your mind?
That was the only negative. I mean, we found out and I looked at Derek and I said, I'm going to have to call her and tell her I'm going to be pregnant in her wedding. But I'm really, really, really excited. Like, I'm not kidding. There was no other negative emotions about it. I mean, my parents were not married when I was born and never were. And Derek's parents were not either and never were. I think in a very weird twisted way, having the background of your parents not being together and not necessarily getting along your whole life, I feel like I value marriage a lot. And like I value commitment so much because and I think it makes, in a weird way, it makes our marriage so much better and more valid because we've seen how it can affect you. And like we put our marriage on such a pedestal just, and I'm not saying people that have been married for years don't do this. Like, I mean, don't get that wrong. Just in our situation, we really, really make it a point to make our marriage such a focus because we want it to work and we see how often and how easy it is for people to walk away. And I don't ever want either one of us to ever have a shadow of a doubt. Like there's no way I could live without my husband in my life, you know? But
so like what,
so
you have like the background from your life to have that kind of thinking.
Yes.
Now that you've been married for multiple years, like what has kept that, like what has kept the marriage going and the relationship so strong and even gotten stronger from where you guys started?
I think finding out we were pregnant so early, there were there were some people that doubted the whole thing.
Doubted the marriage?
Just doubted, like, us as a couple. I mean, I told Derek not to propose until after I had Emmett because I needed to get through that. And I don't want people thinking the reason why we were engaged was because I was pregnant. Engaged was because
of the baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which would not have been the case. I mean, when we found out, he was like, I'm going to marry you. And I said, not right now, you are not. And he got it. Like, it wasn't because I didn't love him and didn't think I wasn't going to. It was just, I don't want him to be that person that people think, oh, they're getting married because they have a baby. Like, that's not it. I know I would have married Derek regardless. But there was doubt, and I think having the baby put our our relationship to everybody else way much more in focus, and people really started, and a lot of people, like, out of kindness, I mean, true kindness, Derek and I had nothing, literally nothing, but I know that people were, like, nervous about how we were going to make it, and how, like, financially and mentally, and I mean, I was nervous physically. I've been dating this guy that I really, really like for a few months, but you know how that is. And now I gained 70 pounds almost, and then you're not pregnant, and then that's even worse. So, I mean, it really took a toll on everything. I think once we were married, things changed a little bit. Derek's family is a lot different than mine. And so Derek has definitely had to adjust to our way family. Of life. Yes.
Yeah, and you've had to adjust to his, yeah.
Yeah. Like, my husband didn't say hi to people for the longest time. And I know that. I know that drove Mom crazy. I know it did. I know it did. But now he does. Like, we just went to Tennessee, and he was great. Like,
he was great. Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, it just took a little bit of an adjusting period.
Well, and it's just, I mean, everyone, it's the adjustment, and then it's the accepting your role, and that everyone has a role.
Right.
So, and it's like, it was no big deal when, you know, we were tasting wine, and Derek was sitting, like, he stepped outside, because, like, that's just not his
scene. Not his forte, yeah.
And, like, we don't, I mean, I personally don't judge him. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not a huge sweet wine drinker either.
Right.
Like, I understand, and honestly, in the next visits, like, I will probably be outside with you, just because, like, it's not my kind of scene as well with the sweet wine. And so, like, I guess accepting the role and figuring that out, and, like, that's a long process. Like,
it is. And it was,
doesn't, it's,
and we were changing. I mean, we've changed a lot, you know? So it was not only, like, us becoming parents, but our relationship changed. And then we were kind of, I mean, I think this is where I really learned to just make yourself happy, and you do what is going to make you happy at the end of the day. I mean, I was constantly worried about, oh my gosh, what's Emmett wearing? I need to make sure I have all these extra clothes. I need to make sure I have all these extra diapers. Oh my goodness, what if this happens? And what if I don't have this? And what would people think if I don't do it this way? And oh my goodness, it was crazy. But then finally, I just had to let it go. I used to really, really let what people think get to me. I mean, really bad. I used to have a terrible, terrible skin condition, and I have horror stories from that. And I mean, I even hate going back to my hometown, because I would die inside if I saw someone I graduated with. Like, it's bad. So I really had to, at one point, just...
How'd you get past that?
I just had to let it go. You know, I just,
Is that, I feel like that's easier said than done, though.
It was.
Unless it's just, do you work with the small things, like letting the smaller things go and build up from there? Do you just have the mental capacity of just like, yeah, no, like, that's not going to bother me? Like, walk me through that process.
So growing up, I was very religious. Probably the most out of the three kids.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, my life was church, church camp. I was the Christian youth fellowship president for the state of Ohio, and ran weekend retreats for hundreds of people. I mean, I was very, very active. And at that point, I was dating someone who was also very active in the church, but his family was very, very active in our church. Mm-hmm. And freshman year, I just realized that we were not what I thought we were. And after we broke up, the way that people in our old church responded to me, and this might be why it's not that I don't believe in God. It's not that I don't
believe that there's something.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have the same level of faith as you once did.
Coming from an outsider point of view, it's amazing how people who are Christian and say they're Christians can turn on you so fast and who can judge you so hard. And I was mind blown because I was the whole time when I was doing all that, I was like, well, these are the people that didn't judge me. This is where I could go as a retreat. Mm-hmm. And just because I had some stuff on my skin, they were all going to be my friends the next day. And then for that to change so quick, it really kind of put things into perspective. And I think that's kind of when, I don't want to say like it's a bad thing. I think if you have your faith and you are strong in it and you believe in something and you go to church every Sunday, you know what? More power to you. Mm-hmm. I've learned I don't think that path is the path for everyone, because I think that's where my judgment issues kind of blew up in my face. And then I even saw myself and I turned it back on myself and I said, oh, but I was that person judging other people in the mm-hmm. church. Like, that was me. That was me. I thought I was the cool one that could judge everyone else. And I wasn't. And then
I feel like that would be hard to accept too. It's like, whoa, you know, take that step back and realize like,
absolutely. Shit,
like I was that person at one time as well. But I think that also helps you like get through what you're trying to do, because you can, once you admit the problem kind of a thing, you can get through it. Yeah.
And I kind of just knew I had to take a break from all of it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't stopped that break yet. but I find so much peace in myself and so much happiness in myself. And you know me, if I'm going to mm-hmm. do something and it's not going to be what some people like.
Nope.
But it's going to be what makes me happy. And it's going to make me feel like I have a sense of peace with things. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that, you know?
I'm the same way.
It's
crazy because, like, people see that as being, like, self-centered. And it's just like, I mean, I don't see it that way. And maybe that's just me. I don't see it that way. I see it as like I'm self-aware and I know what makes me happy and I'm always going to try to do what makes me happy.
Right. And I think at different points, it takes them a lot of time to warm up to that. When I did everything with Derek, it took a lot of people time to warm up to it. But I think if you ask anyone in my life right now, they would probably say that Derek was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, for 100%.
100%. So as much as people might be skeptical about something 1 minute, 5 years later, they'll just be like, yes, that made sense for her. That was good for her, or that was good for him. And they'll see the positive in that. And who knows? Well, in 5 years, you might see me in church every Sunday too. Maybe I just need to take some time away.
That brings up a point of, like, you know, something that I've been struggling with since coming back from Lux with family and friends and stuff is, like, different things make me happy. Uh-huh. And, like, that's okay. Like, what once made me happy, you know, 3 months ago or, hell, even yesterday isn't necessarily what's making me happy right now.
Right.
And so it's just, like, you know, with the perfect timing with you and Derek, like, he made you happy in that moment, but you know, if you guys met a day later or 2 weeks later, it might not have worked out. And I think, you know, other people adjusting to what makes you happy and just yourself, like I have to be open about, you know, this makes me happy. And I don't think it necessarily needs to be said, because you should just show your happiness if you're enjoying something.
Oh, and I think with piggybacking off of what you said, the hardest part in doing what's going to make your life the best and make you truly the happiest is you can't, at the same time, it's really hard to not come off as I don't want to say judgy, but it's hard to for other people not to be like, oh, well, I don't do that. So does that mean that she's not happy for me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh. And that's where I'm all, I mean, because I say, like, you know, you do you, or I say that all the time. Oh, I say
you do
you, like,
all the time. I've told because, you like, that millions of times.
Yeah, just because, like, what makes me happy isn't necessarily what makes you happy, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And what makes you happy isn't necessarily what will make me happy.
Right.
And that's okay.
I mean, like, good.
Like, it's the comparison. When we start to compare each other, that's when things go awry. And, you know, that's when, you know, you get the judgment. That's when you get the negatives out of people. And it's just, I'm not here for that.
No, I mean, a good example for, like this situation. So our sister got married 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
End of June, almost. No, I think it was a month ago this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Month ago this weekend. Okay. First anniversary. Happy anniversary, Lindsay and Peter, if you're listening to this. They had a very religious wedding. Would I have done that? Absolutely not. But did that change my happiness for them? Not in the slightest. Because they did them. That is a focal point in their relationship, and that is wonderful. And if that makes them stronger as a couple, go for it all day, every day. But
100%.
Exactly. Like, those are the things that, but I hope that I didn't, like, at the same time, what I really work on now is I want them to feel that from me. That, no, that's not how Brittany would have done it. That's not how Brittany did it. I don't even think God was mentioned in my wedding at all. But she was still so happy for us. I mean, mm-hmm. We're different. We're way different in that aspect. But it doesn't change the way I feel towards them for a second, you know? So I think that's kind of where I'm at right now with everything.
Yeah, and I think that takes, like...
It takes time.
It takes time, and it takes a really good grasp on perspective.
Uh-huh.
Of, you know, not necessarily, like, being completely in your shoes all the time, but taking a step out of where you're at and putting yourself in that other person's perspective and being like, okay, if I were them, how would I want other people to feel about me, kind of a thing?
Right.
If that makes sense.
I mean, everybody
and like
that
has, in itself is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, everybody has the right to have happiness, whether they agree or not, or disagree, or, I mean, there's things that I am very opinionated on that are definitely mm-hmm. not the most popular opinions of a lot of people. I don't vocalize those a lot because, I mean, no. My job for one, but
yeah, you're not one. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would on, I mean, unless you're one of my like core group of friends or a close family member would necessarily know like what my political views are. Or anything like that. So, but I like to kind of keep that to myself in a way, too. So then people don't, when they come up to me, they're not just, ugh, she believes in this, this, and this. Because I want them to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I feel like you know me, then I would open up to you more on those things.
Yeah. Well, and that's just like one thing that, you know, I kind of.
That's probably why this is so hard right now, Zachary.
It's all good. I mean, it's good. I love the authenticity that you've brought, but you know, and this is why I love the podcast. Cause like it allows me more so cause I am I'm in every episode, but for the people that I'm with, like they get to know the people that are on each episode because it's something that they can share their experiences with and, you know, just put themselves out there without necessarily having an agenda.
Right. Why does anybody need an agenda? Ever.
And that's why I enjoy it. You know, I don't, and it's just one of those things, like, I don't want to talk about politics or necessarily, like, get deep into religion or stuff mm-hmm. like that, just because that's not really a passion of mine to talk about.
No.
If it comes up, I don't necessarily have a problem discussing it. Like, I don't care what other people, like, I personally do not care what other people think of me. And, like, that in itself has...
There's that judgment.
Off, but, like, whatever. Yeah, but, like, right. I just don't, like, I'm living my life, and if you disagree with something I'm doing, if you give me, like, feedback, if you share your opinions, like, I'll listen to them, mm-hmm. and I will take that opinion or that advice and say, okay, like, do I actually need to change this about me, or do I need to, you know, just ignore it because that's going to change a core value or belief of myself? And I think that's something that has been very hard. And I don't know if you've, I'm sure you've kind of gone through that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've seen the difference in you. I mean, think back, Zach. Think back to a year ago. I mean, mm-hmm. you were, I think you, I mean, even though I don't go on 4:30 in the morning and work out every day, like, that's what's good for you. But I think at the end of the day, I can see the difference in you. And I do think that going abroad helped that. I think that mm-hmm. going abroad by yourself helped you a lot. But I think the transformation you've made just by finding the positives of things and not necessarily the negatives has changed you so much. I mean, think about it. I don't even know a time in our lives before I FaceTimed you and you were in Spain, had we ever had a 45-minute conversation, just you and I?
No.
I truly don't.
Nope. And, I mean, like, that was a thought after... It's interesting you bring that up because that was something I thought about after I hung... Like, after we hung up, I was like... I think that's the first time Brittany and I have just had a conversation, just the two of us.
Yes.
And it was a good conversation.
Well, I mean, I think things in our lives made it because of that. I mean, I was yeah. older than, just a couple years older than you, but a little bit older than you. And I think I was always in a different stage of my life. Yeah. And I think it was really hard, not that I didn't love you and not that I didn't think about you all the time, but it was just hard for us to find a common ground.
Common ground. And I think, like, getting more life experience mm-hmm. has helped that. And, you know, I mean, that's, I think that's been true for, like, you and Lindsay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Y'all had your time in high school, I feel like. And then just, like, while she was still in high school and you were in college. And then, like, Lindsay and I got super close, like, once I was at the end of high school and going into college. And then we were both here.
Yeah, yeah, really, I was definitely the third wheel of that family. His brother and sister relationships for a long time.
You were. But, like, once, I think, like, once Lindsay graduated, I think you and Lindsay have a lot you can connect with. Lindsay and mm-hmm. I still have a lot we connect with. And then you and I can connect on some things just because I have more life experience. And, you know, I think one of the things that you were most excited for with me going abroad is, like, that was another connection we could talk about.
Yeah.
And then you were even more excited when I was going to Ireland, which yes. is, you know, where you were also for your honeymoon. Like, we could talk about that. And I think just the more life experiences we have, the more we can connect with.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, do you remember, like, the first time we literally just did not talk unless we were in the same house because I was visiting. But do you remember when did I text you or call you? It wasn't a very long conversation if I did, but I called you or texted you or something, and I was like, Zach, you have to go. No matter what anybody says, you have to go. Do not yeah. not go. I think I probably texted you a million times that, but I just knew, like, I didn't know that you needed it for yourself, but I knew how awesome of a life-changing experience that would have been. And I think that's really, yeah. like, I think you're right. I think that's where we connected.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was more, like, I think a lot of it was, you know, I was getting older and I was maturing, and, you know, I saw that, like, I enjoyed getting, like, your perspective as mm-hmm. someone that was a younger adult.
Yeah.
On top of, like, my parents' perspective and then Lindsay's perspective and other friends' perspective that I had, like, that was just something that, you know, you were at a point in life that I thought I could value your opinion and your advice on.
Right. It's so. One of those, like, perfect life moments. It just happened at the perfect time.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
So.
Because I think if we would have tried to have one of those conversations when you were in high school and I was... Or when I was in college and you were in, like, eighth grade or whatever, it would not have been the same.
No, I mean, because, I mean, when I would hear stories or situation would be happening real time, and like we need to go do something with Britt, and I would just be like, okay, like,
yeah.
Not that they didn't give me a lot of details in the moment, they did afterwards, but I was just kind of like, okay, I guess that's what she's up to.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I just, it wasn't necessarily a priority in my life at that point, I don't think.
Oh, and I mean, I know it was not in mine. You know,
I think it was one of those things, like, we weren't in each other's lives that much to begin with as I was growing up.
No.
And I think that was huge. And I think once, you know, I hit high school and Emmett was born, like, it became a bigger priority to be in each other's lives.
And I think, honestly, it wasn't for me and you. It was solely because my son, like, I mean, he wants to be you. When he grows up, he idolizes you. So it was one of those things more than even you and me. It was, I want Zach to be around for Emmett because he's going to be crushed when he moves to college or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah. So. And that's just, I mean, it fascinates me, the power of, like, human connection.
Yeah. And it's, we don't even realize how powerful, like, it is, you don't even realize how powerful you can be to someone else. Yeah. So you should be your happiest self. So when that time comes, you really make a difference.
Yeah. So I feel like I kind of know where this is going to go, but the last question I ask is, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, boy. How young are we talking? It changes at different stages.
Yep. What advice would you give to your younger self? It could be your younger self yesterday when you graduated high school. What advice would you give to your younger self?
You know, I don't, I'm going to change that up a little bit because I don't know if I would necessarily give myself advice. Are there things that if I look back, I'm like, oh, you know, probably shouldn't have done that. Yes.
Yeah. But I have
zero regrets on anything. I have zero regrets. I think I would just tell myself, you know, because there were some dark days in the life of Brittany Charles, let me tell you what. And there were days where I just wasn't a happy person. I wasn't happy with life. I didn't know. I always struggled with, like, where do I fit in? I mean, there were days in high school where I literally ate lunch in the bathroom because people were making fun of me. Like, that's what I did. So, and then I went home and I still felt like, who can I don't have anybody to call. Like, I can't call anyone and say, I've had a really hard freaking day. Like, so I think if nothing else, I would just tell myself to take a deep breath and lean on yourself, and you will not imagine how happy you are in a few years, and everything is going to be okay.
I think that's it right there. It's just like, whatever situation you're going through, you will get out of it. You will rise from it. You'll respond, and you'll rise in the way that you need to at that moment, and everything will be okay.
Everything's going to be okay. You might, you know, there are still days that are not my favorite days, and we don't live in a huge mansion or anything like that, and there's struggles in everyday life, but I am so grateful for the life that I have, and I think I would just tell myself it's going to be all right. Like, everything's going to be good. And there's been some really, like, things that have made me so happy that have changed. And even the last year, couple years with everything, that I feel really at peace right now, you know? I think there's big changes possibly coming in my future. And I'm okay with that. Like, I am so at peace with my life and so happy and proud of what I have that It'll be okay. That's what I tell myself.
That's awesome. Love it.
Love it. To hear it. Love it.
Thank you. Love. Yeah, no. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been,
I hope I didn't overtalk you. I am a talker, but
no,
hopefully
I think it'll be interesting for you to hear your own voice.
Don't, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I'm sweating about that. Hopefully your ratings don't go way down, but
I'm also hoping for that.
Maybe I will make you famous.
Maybe you might be that one. You might be the one that just.
Hey guys, I am so grateful for you listening all the way to the end of this episode. I hope you can pull something from this episode to learn more about yourself and just to be more happy in life. And I hope y'all continue to support this podcast and support this journey that we're all on together. Until next time.